Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Mahogany Jones, and you're tuned in right now to the Hip Hop Digest Show. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
And I have to say, I found it really telling that you champion people like Ronald Reagan and Dwight Eisenhower as folks who didn't, you know, bang this racial trope drum like Donald Trump does. You talk about Ronald Reagan, not depending on people to, use race as an issue, but he absolutely did that. He racialized the debate on welfare. He painted the black woman as the face of a welfare queen, even though more white people were on welfare at that time then in the 80s and still now. Dwight Eisenhower, you say, didn't do these things as well. Dwight Eisenhower is known for telling the Supreme Court these poor white folks are good people. They just don't want their white daughter sitting next to oversized Negroes, to oversized Negroes, to oversized Negroes.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
Of course, it's E Green. And what did you just hear? All three of us in the same spot. Well, kind of. Oh. You know what I'm saying? We all three here.
I'm talking to all three of you.
All three. Is we finished or is we done?
Is we done? Put some respect on
our name,
nigga.
We done being absent. How about that?
So thank goodness everybody's in and whatnot. And trust me when I tell you, the schedule is tight.
Tight.
So yeah, we are some different.
Wifey was looking at me sideways when I dropped her off and left the crib. He like, Lord. Nigga, ain't you got to go somewhere tomorrow? What you doing?
What's up? Well, you can always sleep on the plane there, sir.
I'll see you back on the road again.
All right. Yes, sir.
No doubt. So there were some very interesting events in the text chain, but we're not going to get into that just yet. It's very interesting, the text chain. But as of recording time, the text chain was on fire, and it apparently still is.
It still is.
All right.
It's a good thing.
We're going to get into a light topic a little bit here. More on this gentleman later. All right. Jamie Dupree of So Deaf Recordings.
Hold on, sir.
Jamie.
Hold on, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hold on, sir. I got to bring it back. Come rewind.
Okay.
Mr. Busta Rhymes right quick. Because every show since somebody had been fired, they've been given a report on what's been going on.
Oh, okay.
And we ain't getting no reports this week, nigga, about what's been going on with you and your job.
So I was relieved of my command. But then after some high-level meetings, I was reinstated, thank God.
So after the deliberations.
Oh, you thinking Jay-Z? Jay-Z got your job back?
Oh, man. No, sir. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Not over here.
Yeah, he ain't had nothing.
His name might be Hov, but he ain't.
Nah, not you right. Nah, not over here. Thank God. Yes. So to give a personal update, even though, look, I had a second joint. I was grinding. I was doing what I had to do. And that came through lovely. But again, thank God I got my job back. So, I'm back to regular, what is considered regular dough and whatnot. I think I'm going to go buy some records.
Go buy your daddy's records.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Hey, Killer, you did see that note I sent you from Tanya, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, just for consideration, sir.
Yeah, actually, strangely enough, I may get that. That's still... Well.
You can buy a few records.
No doubt.
Don't sweat it.
So anyway, but thank you for your concern, sir. Yes. Thank you. Appreciate that. And your prayers.
Oh, yes.
Indeed.
Yes, sir.
All right. So back to the previous program. Jermaine Dupri, Social Deaf.
Oh, wow. His name is Jermaine.
Yeah. I'll give him the government. Jermaine Dupri, Social Deaf Recordings.
After you already called him Jamie before Curtis stopped you.
Did I? Oh, wow.
Okay. It's just natural for you, B. I get it.
And So Deaf Productions filed a breach of contract complaint against Sony Music and Sony Music Entertainment. In the district court, the Southern Court of New York City at the beginning of July seeks an estimated $18 million, including $10 million of interest plus attorney's fees, and also demands a jury trial saying that Sony hid in their books the money that he and his artist was owed. I didn't go all the way into the breakdown, but it goes all the way through the Brat to Crisscross to everybody who was involved in that. Apparently, now I don't know if he's giving them any dough.
But he's definitely going for his own money.
Yeah.
He's throwing them in there to add on to the sweeten up the pot.
Now, I only ask this as a matter of fiduciary purposes, and this is more towards Swerve.
All right, let's go.
I gotta think that Mr. Dupree, longtime music industry veteran, whose dad was a music industry veteran, would have had lawyers on the case.
You know what? there are lawyers and there are attorneys. You gotta make sure you got the right one. No offense to his pops. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you have a good attorney even. There's another attorney that is a more of a snake than that attorney. So,
okay.
We're talking about a record label.
Yeah, but okay.
They got the best snakes.
B, that may be true, but we're not talking about jerk contracts like KRS-One and B-Boy Records or even Tribe Called Quest and Jive Records, who usually hands out very stiff jerk boilerplate contracts.
Jive Zomba?
Yeah, we're talking about somebody whose pops was in the record industry and is super successful. I mean, I don't know, B.
I'm not saying
cats can't get jerked.
Put it like this. This is how you have to look at it. When you're dealing with the record industry, B, you're going to get stuck. The matter of how much you're going to take and how much you're not going to take is all it's going to be. Because some niggas get all of it. Some niggas get a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it depends on what level you at. So you're going to get fucked no matter what, B.
I applaud Mr. Dupree, and I hope he gets his dough, especially the dough owed him. But I'm just flabbergasted at you know, and that's a problem. I think I got a problem with this again, this constant boasting about I'm a boss or I'm a CEO. I got a problem with that type of boast.
That might come back later in the convo.
It might.
But anyway, when you think you're bigger than the game, B, and in some cases, people feed you that you are bigger than the game. You untouchable. You good out here. Your money is this, that, and the other. But as I said, these contracts are not a little two-page contract.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
They are, in some cases, hundreds of pages. And if you misread one thing out of that Black's Law Dictionary and make that mistake, then you're done.
Yeah, I believe that. But I guess it's just hard to believe that someone of his circumstances and resources and prominence wouldn't get the biggest snake.
You could get all the snakes you want, but the record industry is not going to fuck themselves.
Not at all.
So if you come in there with the biggest snake and you got some tight airtight shit, they probably ain't gonna fuck with you.
Wait a minute, B.
You can go ahead and go somewhere else with that.
If
we're not taking it over,
he could have and still can afford the whatever the equivalent Johnny Cochran of the music industry, a thorn in their side. I'm hiring him. Yeah, it's costing me a lot of dough, but I'm hiring him. I mean, hell, even ghetto ass, you know, Suge Knight was looking in the niggas' contracts and telling other artists, "Oh, you ain't getting your royalties, or they owe you
while
this."
He was meanwhile hammering others.
Oh, well, no doubt. I'm not saying
the game is ugly, B. The game
is ugly.
Completely ugly.
B.
Because like you just said, B, niggas out here complaining, or not out here complaining, out here boasting about all the money they got, but that nigga is getting screwed. And the niggas that's under him, he's screwing them.
Yes.
So everybody's getting it, B.
Oh, no, I agree. B, you sound like Marlo. The game is the game.
That's what it is. The game
is the game. And your boy Jermaine, just he was not at the top of the food chain, obviously. He was getting whatever bread he was getting, and he was getting good bread because the nigga still made more money than we got. He's living good.
Yeah, Janet Jackson.
Yeah, he's living real good. Yeah, Janet Jackson. He got screwed out of some money, and he'll probably get some
of
that back.
If you get the inference, right?
True.
I know what you're saying, but
he'll probably get some of that money back because those lawyers and everything, they're going to go through what they go through, and what he's asking for is chump change. In the big 25 mil, maybe at the most, he'll be talking. Them niggas like, yeah, okay, we'll put that shit in a fucking account and hold on to it and let that shit sit for a minute. And then we'll say, here you go, buddy.
All right. Well,
let me rewind for a second, just a little bit. If he had come in there with a super, super high power attorney, the only thing would have happened was that contract would have got slid back across the table. And they'd have realized, oh, we got us a real one here. And then they'd have took that contract back and changed some other words to still make up for what they was going to try to do. Trust me on that, yo.
But again, I don't deny that the record industry is fraught with, you know, craziness. But I'm just saying, a guy of his stature. This isn't an independent, small-time, first-year rapper type of cat.
Right, you're right, but he ain't the first one. He ain't the last one that's going to get got like that. Plenty of people have gotten got like that, but most of them don't sue.
Oh no,
most of them just take it and keep it moving.
Right, and that being said, and I only point out him because again, he is one of the guys who is like I'm a boss, I'm a CEO. You know what I'm saying? Hell, Prince was getting jerked, but Prince never claimed that, you know, he was that type, even though he was running Paisley Park. But I don't know. So
yeah, but if you go back and listen to the words he was saying, he was telling the truth. He was a boss, the CEO of So-So Def.
Yep.
But not of Sony Music.
Well.
So he was getting what he was getting as the boss CEO, but he had people over top of him doing what they was doing.
And the boss is boss.
It goes downhill, B.
No doubt. No ways. All right. All right. Well, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Jay-Z. We've been talking about Jay-Z a little bit, but Jay-Z is triumphantly, you know, coming off his three nights. Amazingly so. Three nights at Yankee Stadium. Even for Hov, I'm like, man, that's pretty amazing. You know, shout to Hov. I'm going to run through the guest list here. The people he had, and maybe we could draw some inferences from the guest list. His wife, obviously. His daughter.
Obviously.
Okay. Nas, Memphis Bleek, Jazzo, Alicia Keys, Slick Rick, Eminem.
Ooh, Jazzo?
Jazzo, wow. That's the only one that got me. Like, Jazzo, okay.
Jazzo, yeah.
That's nice, okay.
Let me repeat. Slick Rick, Eminem, Pharrell Williams, Teyana Taylor, aforementioned Mr. Dupri. Jermaine, Jeezy, Usher, Rihanna, The Dream, Swizz Beatz, Clips, and Fat Joe and Jada Kiss.
So the only one that sparked interest for me was Jazzo.
And why would that be?
Because they seemed like there was a little beef there.
A little.
Well, not as much as him in The Haven. But it seemed like it was a little beef there, so I was like, I don't know if he's going to even get a chance to show up because you know Jade, he's petty, mm-hmm. He can hold a grudge, so I didn't think that would actually happen.
Mm-mm. So, I thought the Eminem was interesting because Eminem does not do public events. For the most part,
hey, he's doing it for a billionaire.
Yeah.
That's a surprise too. Because that's a song that everybody says Jay-Z did got handed his lunch on that one.
Yeah, but you know what is interesting? The clips I've seen of whatever Jay is out there looks like you know maybe he's getting a little long in the tooth. He's performing Nas records out there. You know, he's performing Nas records out there. You know, that they, of course, you know, they do Jay's catalog, but Nas is out there. They're doing Nas records, B. And Hov is lyric for lyric with the nigga.
Why wouldn't he be? It's hot music.
Right. It just shows that he was paying attention to his career. Now, what I would love to see, and I know that wouldn't happen, get to see him do Ether and Takeover.
Oh, that was never going to happen. That was never, never. Happen. Yeah. No.
Yeah. But the show that there's no hard feelings in, that shit is completely gone. We could actually do Ether and Hart and oh, damn, I just forgot the name of the song. Takeover, Ether and Takeover on the same stage and no beef.
Right. See, Kurt, you messy. You want that Gucci Man and Young Jeezy shit.
Nah, because I'm just showing how much you've grown.
How much you, right.
And this don't mean even bother us.
Or it would have been done.
That's true. That's very true.
All right, so, you know, sold out all three nights, you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you got to give it to Hov, I guess. A lot of people, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I can't stand Jay, you know, for, like we discussed on the last show, the you know, the Target. Shout out to T-Berry, he's like so many SKUs. the Target deal, you know, the, you know, Hov is, you know, anywhere from, you know, industrial complex plant to, you know, a Freemason, you know, to, you know, he got the some kind of
Illuminati.
Yeah, I mean, you got all kinds of conspiracy Hov theories out there, videos or whatever, which is, you know, I mean, it is going to be rare. Because next to Nas at, and we talked about this before, next to Nas, who did Madison Square Garden a couple nights and sold out, who does that, even in their hometown? Does Dr. Dre do Dodger Stadium or even SoFi?
He could, but he'd have to bring out Snoop.
Well, no, yeah, Kendrick. But that's given. He'd bring out
Snoop, Kendrick.
He'd have to bring out the whole complement
of Compton.
Just like Jay did.
Jay did. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Jay
yeah.
brought out Mary and everybody else.
Right. So that's the thing. I'm just saying, who? And I just named Dre off the top of my head. You know, in your city, can you do it at the large venues? You know, who do you think? I think that is so rare air.
It is rare air.
It's the rarest of air.
It's rare as if you're talking about just rap.
Y'all need some tissues? God damn.
If you're just talking about just rap, that is rare air.
Because if you think about it, where did Kendrick, goodness, where was Kendrick performing when he did that big ass thing and he brought out damn near all of LA?
I think that was out here. That was the Forum, wasn't it?
Was it the Forum?
Now, Kendrick was doing stadiums, though. Kendrick was
doing
big spots,
too. Yeah, he
was
doing stadiums. Yeah.
But you talking about for that big Amazon concert shit he did.
Yeah, that Amazon shit. I'm not sure the venue. I'm sure somebody in the text chain will tell us where it was. It's shout to the Lehmans. They always up on it. Who can do it? Who can do it in Atlanta?
Oh, Atlanta?
Can somebody sell out the set in Atlanta? Now, granted, I know you got to bring Atlanta whole. That comes with the territory,
but you could do it if you bring out, like I said, you bring out enough people, you could do it.
Yep.
As long as Future is on the bill, is it gonna be?
I'm talking about, like, this is the Jay-Z show, and then Jay-Z brand guest, or just like Kendrick, the Kendrick show. It was a Kendrick show, an Amazon thing, but he brand guest, Tyler the Creator, and all them like that. You know what I'm saying? Mustard, he brand all them. You know what I mean? Who's a single name can anchor the show?
Let me ask you a question, y'all.
Okay.
So I'm gonna pull Kurt G. I'm asking this question. If it was strictly only Jay-Z without 100 guests, does he still sell that out in 3 days?
No. No.
I don't think it's 3 days straight.
No, I don't.
So this is why I asked y'all, did you need a napping? Because it was like a goddamn Superfest. It was Budweiser Superfest at the fucking stadium.
Nah, but
it wasn't like it was just Jay-Z.
Yeah, but he has the catalog to sustain. Now, he was doing Nas records, but he only did a couple. It's not like Nas was doing his own private concert with Hov being a hype man. They did a couple of very popular Nas records, you know, together. They was doing their thing. It wasn't like a Budweiser Superfest. Just like anything.
You named off 50 motherfuckers that was there.
It wasn't 50 motherfuckers. It was over three nights. And if you look at the number of people who was there over three nights, that's really not a lot. Let me repeat the question. Who's the anchor from an Atlanta show, an LA show? Who's the anchor?
We don't know because we haven't seen it occur. Maybe T.I. will try to drum it up. Who knows? But I do think if they had one of their future, whoever the hell.
Future? And then they you have think, all Kurt these, G, Future could be the anchor
Future
for an Atlanta show?
Yeah, Future could be the anchor. He could. I think he
he's
could
a,
be.
He's a big dog in that game, big.
Oh, you talking about Atlanta.
You're just talking about Atlanta. I'm talking about Atlanta.
They at the Which, well, I guess you could say what arena would they be at? Would they be at the basketball, the football? Which one would they be at?
Well, let's say for symmetry. Well, okay, so but see that's different. Like I said, other than Nas, and Nas did MSG. He didn't do Yankee Stadium. So you got that's a denote there. You got to look at that.
Oh, then you could be at the baseball team.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, the Braves. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so not the NFL, not the football
stadium. No, not the football stadium. But again, so you're saying Atlanta. L.A., I just said Dr. Dre off the top of my head.
Of course, because he's going to bring everybody in his stable, and they will sell out.
I think that would sell out.
I could see Dre the Dre. The yes, I could see
he could
Dre.
Bring so many people.
I could see that.
Past and present. I bet you
E-40 could do it in Oakland.
Oh yeah, I don't know
with his folks from Oakland.
Because
give that man some respect.
Because we don't know what. All we know is what E-40 did. We don't know what he's still doing or who he's still attached to.
I saw him light up SeaWorld the other day. I saw that.
Man,
crazy.
Ah, wow, that's crazy. Wow.
What other parts of town, Texas? Who is a headliner there?
Well, because Texas is so big.
Texas is huge.
Yeah, it is huge.
You'd have to go
city. Let's just say Dallas.
Yeah, you'd have to say Dallas or Houston.
Yeah, Dallas or Houston. Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh.
Man, Houston.
Okay, no. All right. Okay, so the only person who could do it, Yumbo, Travis Scott.
But Travis Scott does it by himself.
That don't count, B.
He does it by himself.
Wait a minute, B. You're asking for who could do it.
But Travis Scott, but see, the thing is,
Are we talking about General fucking Taylor Swift, nigga?
Right. Oh, that's what I was getting ready to say, nigga. We on the same wavelength. I was going to say, Taylor Swift.
We talking hip-hop,
K-pop, nigga? What are we talking about here? Come on, B. There's no
They're going to try to get a fucking attitude. Like,
right.
What?
Nigga, ain't no stretch of the imagination that Travis Scott is hip-hop. I mean, no stretch of the imagination.
My daughter in August is going to M&T and the football stadium to go see BTS in August.
Because that's a whole different animal.
That's a different animal, B. That do want to talk?
If they would have performed in New York that night, Jay-Z would have got shut down.
Shut
nigga.
Down.
Probably, yeah. Okay, so all right, so we're back to super rare air. Could Common do it in Chicago?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
Ooh.
I don't know. Okay, no, talking about hip hop then.
Depending on who's coming on there with him.
Now, but see, he had the men fences with Kanye for that to happen.
You think? Oh.
I would think.
He's from Chicago.
I would think.
Because Kanye could bring him out right now.
Oh, matter of fact, your man
who
could do it. Kanye is selling out worldwide, B.
Okay.
Right now, selling out.
So, truth be told, so Kanye could do the Cubs or the White Sox jump off
easily
with bringing obviously the coattails of Chicago with him. All right, okay, yep. All right, okay. So we got a couple names, but it's super rare air though. Super rare.
It's also super rare because the fucking tickets are crazy expensive, and folks just ain't got it like that. But. They paid them thousands to go see Jay-Z.
Certainly did.
They'll find that money when they need it.
Yeah, the rent can wait.
not for them niggas on that last day of the show. Them niggas bum rushed the spot and ran through that bitch.
Well,
man. They had to shut that shit down. They were like, nah, we closing this
3-hour delay.
If you ain't got a ticket, nigga, you can't be in here.
Concert didn't even start till what, 1, 2 a.m.?
Started way
Good
late,
Lord.
Nigga.
Yeah.
And niggas waited for that shit, B.
Oh, and it still sold. It was still... It was still packed.
It was still packed. And the thing that impressed me was the artist that he brought out stayed. They weren't like, yo, Jay, I love you, but I can't do this shit.
What else were they
going
to do?
I'm going home.
Go back to the hotel?
Oh, shout the second to none.
Oh, shit.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'm glad that you guys got that mostly out last week, because I'm of the mindset where, like, we got so much division on this gentleman for him doing what he's always done, and I just don't see the hubbub about it now. I mean, he does what we expect him to do, or we have come to learn that he's going to do.
Well, see, the problem is the general body politic, because they are, like I've always said, next to Barack and Michelle, they're black royalty. Now, that is the black body politic with that shit, B. Mm. Okay, he's a rapper, he's an entertainer, and should be viewed as such, and a very wealthy man. There's no doubt about that, which should be admired. I get that. But come on, B.
He's a businessman, and he's making a lot of business for podcasts and talk shows.
All right, so let me. So I'm not.
He's definitely a businessman.
I'm not. I'm definitely.
When you think about it like that, he is a fucking business.
I'm not. You know, Jay looks foolish out there on that Target thing. He didn't need it. He didn't need the money. So,
but them people that was boycotting H&M, and I saw them in the store the next day, didn't need H&M either. So what?
No doubt. But
saying.
But let me ask you this particular question. Are you laying at the? Are you laying his popularity and his black royalty in the popular culture sense at his feet? Are you, that's his feet? That's his responsibility?
No, we don't make ourselves superstars, or else I would be one. It ain't that easy. The audience makes you the superstar. You could be the best, but not if you don't have the audience. Then you're not the best, according to the levels or whatever, I guess. So it's a mixture of all.
Okay, because I'm saying I'm hardly not going to be defending Hove, but damn, B. I mean, this Yankee Stadium is proving that out right there. That, you know, he just out of nowhere, no current record, no nothing, just on the strength of his catalog.
Are you blaming hardcore?
him?
No, I never blamed him. Never. Just because I wasn't a fan of his music didn't mean I was blaming him. His fans, his people, his stands, the people that go back and forth over it for what is the gain about talking about Jay-Z? Even right now, what is the gain?
It's just words coming out of our mouth. But all what it is, it ain't really a gain for you, other than, well, wait a minute. Let me take that back. There is a gain. There is a gain. Not maybe not for us, but for most people, it's views and clicks. Mm. When you mention his name, just like certain names you mention, whoever they may be, Kanye, Jay-Z, certain names that you mention will get views and clicks. And that's how other niggas is eating off of somebody else's name.
Yes.
So Jay-Z could be as quiet as he wants to be because most people talk for him. He don't have to say shit.
How about a simpler breakdown, B? He has millions of fans, and they showed out and paid a lot of money for those tickets. And over three nights at Yankee Stadium. It's the same people who $1 billion made at the Michael Jackson movie. Folks ran to the theater. I know people who done seen it three damn times.
You know what, B?
He has a lot of fucking fans, B.
B, you know what?
Now,
I'm about to get messy.
But hold up. But other people who put him into, and I still say Jay, quiet as kept, put a lot of fires out. And supports a lot of things, but don't want nobody to know about it. I think I would stick my reputation on that. But there are people who want to put him in a higher, lofty, more royal place than I think is warranted. That's how I look at it.
Thank you.
Okay, I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. But see, what gets him in trouble is, like, what gets most people in trouble is the fact that you don't say nothing. So people assume that you are agreeing and you're in full of compliance with that. So when niggas place him on that pedestal or put him in a position that you think that is not warranted, and he ain't saying, you know what, I'm too humble to accept that. I mean, if the people want to put me there, they can put me there, but I don't agree that I'm that. That nigga's like, fuck that, I am that. When you hear his music, I am him, nigga, I'm Hove. He went from Jay-Z to Hove, my nigga. He thinks he is everything in a bag of chips, as they used to say.
Mm. Look, I'm gonna try to shoot you some bail money, as some of my other folks we talked about. I'm gonna shoot you some bail money, killer, because I know goddamn well you are not so naive as to have not seen the build up to this shit happening all the way back from that fucking interview. You thought this shit was out of nowhere. Only thing I was like, damn, he ain't got a record releasing. Oh, but he's trying to resell his old shit. So this was a marketing plan the whole way.
I'm not saying that it would had to be out of the blue. That has nothing to do with the thousands of people who showed up at Yankee Stadium. And I'm telling you, their probably nosebleed was expensive.
Oh, B, take it from somebody whose wife just went to see Chris Brown and Usher. From nosebleed seats was $200 in that bitch.
Okay, so I'm just saying. So
Cedric's son was there. CJ was at the concert in New York. Flew up from Atlanta to go to that goddamn concert.
Okay,
and had good ass seats.
Okay, but that being said, obviously he's a fan. Let me repeat what I said. He's rare air to be able to do that, especially coming from rap, hip hop. Rare air, but you can't put that on him because people are putting him in loftier places that aren't warranted. That's not his fault. I'm talking about is not his fault.
Ain't what I'm talking about. I asked if he was there to the head. Would he sell out?
Of course not.
But
there's no rapper who's going to do a stadium dolo. None. I don't care who it is.
Well, then, what are we saying?
All that to say, what are we saying? But back to my mess. I was about to get messy in this bitch.
I was trying to save us from that, but go ahead.
I was about to get messy in this bitch because you was talking about Michael Jackson, the movie selling a billion worldwide.
Right.
And there's a certain artist that keeps on putting gloves on his hand, thinking that he's Michael Jackson. He's better than Michael Jackson. I'm not even going to say his name. just this nigga's face and everything just tells you who I'm talking about. That's all I'm saying. That person from the Six thinks that he's Mr. Michael Jackson reincarnated, should we say. So this right here should shut it all the fuck down, nigga. You are not that. Because people are going to go see this nigga and put money, physical money, out here. Not no views and clicks, nigga. Not no billions of views and clicks.
Okay, so the person that you're talking about that will remain nameless, okay, I'm thinking it's got to go all the way back to the Fresh Fest. Because the Fat Boys couldn't have done it alone. Neither could Run DMC or Houdini. But it was the Fresh Fest. And so I think kind of hip-hop concerts have kind of been built on that. You go out with your whole label, Def Jams, you know, Public Enemies. They bringing all kinds of people. You know the Capitol Center lineup, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, from Go-Go Band, Stetsasonic, Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. You know what I'm saying? Public Enemy. I mean, it was crazy. So your boy, who will be remain nameless, who has burnt so many bridges from the people who he has leached on like a goddamn leech records and have wit. So what, he's going to show up at the Toronto joint and do it dolo? Without the support of his people who's on his hit records?
No, they got to be there just like your boy. No,
well, then that's it. But Kerr G got messy because he was saying to prove to the cat up there that you don't defy gravity. You not Michael. Now,
Michael's gone. Michael's gone and still
Michael,
doing this.
Michael's gone. But Michael shows up at the John Dolo.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
No guest. Absolutely. No guest.
He would have a opener or two, and then it'd be the rest of the show was just him.
The openers don't count. Yeah. Michael shows
That's
up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Prince, another motherfucker. He's gone. Rest in peace. Prince shows up dolo and did it on a regular, B.
A stadium?
MSG, Forum, that type of Jones. I mean.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, Prince
shows up. We're not talking the Minneapolis, Minnesota, whatever their baseball team is. We're not doing not that.
Prince up there? Yeah, he could.
I think, oh, yeah, Prince up there. Yeah, he could have done it. At the hometown, okay.
He could have done it.
He could have done it.
Minnesota Twins, yeah.
Yeah, he could have done that. Hometown.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So, again, super rare air. No matter even if you're talking about other niggas, pop niggas, rare.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
We already said it's only two niggas. Absolutely. It's only really two niggas now who could do a Taylor Swift and BTS right now. That's it.
And your boy that you tried to slide into hip hop, Travis Scott, he's done it.
Yeah,
continuously.
Continuously does it, but he ain't that. He's not hip hop. But he can definitely do
well,
it.
Well, yeah, we off that and, now. That's why we were talking about
and,
this.
And I appreciate the correction, and Travis Scott is not hip hop. So thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, saved it for last, but the text chain absolutely blew up. Now, the first person I seen threw a smoldering ember.
Smoldering ember.
Yeah, smoldering ember was Swerve, and had this tale of the tape, Jada Kiss versus 38 Special. So, I didn't pay any.
This is what all the hubbub was about?
Not today. I threw that out a few days
ago.
He threw that a few days ago.
I'm like, damn, this is what all the hubbub
was just
about.
With this rubbing the sticks together to start
this
fire.
Yeah, okay, this nigga was off that. Yeah, he's off that flint rock
in the water. He was like, let me see where they're coming from. Yeah,
but I didn't really pay attention to it because I just basically said, that's really not a battle. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know any background. I didn't know anything. So I just was like, they're 10 years apart, but their career is kind of too similar with the subject matter. Nothing to see here. Move it along. That was my initial reaction.
But all of a sudden.
So this record comes out, Fat Joe, featuring Jada Kiss, Stove God Cooks, Aroma, produced by Kool & Dre. On that record,
the track is hot.
I think the record is fire.
The track is hot.
That track is hot. I think the record is fire. All right. Okay. So apparently, Mr. 38 had an issue with one line in that record. And let me read the line here. I've been obliterating rappers for years. Is this about a verse or is this about a career? Now, I guess according to the hubbub out there, I seen Mr. 38. I don't know the name of them two niggas on that podcast, but every time I see them two niggas, I don't like them. Them motherfuckers. Damn. Yeah, them motherfuckers. I don't know the name of them two, but them two motherfuckers, they love putting motherfuckers in fucked up positions. And if I was an artist, I wouldn't do their cast. But that's a whole nother story.
Wow.
Damn.
But 30 Specials up there basically talking about how he's a boss and he tired of seeing 50-year-old niggas talking about selling drugs and coke. By the way, Mr. 38 happens to be 41. Better get a lottery ticket and play that shit. You know, he's 41 itself. So, you know, it's not like he's a YN. You know, 22-year-old out here grinding. You know what I mean? He's, you know, but hey, he say what he say. And I'm just like, well, wait a minute. 38 to me is getting a little bit out of pocket here. In my opinion, I don't understand because it's not like, okay, you can say that you don't want to see 50-year-olds talk about coke, right? You could say that if your speech from Arrested Development. You can't say that when I went to Wicca, looked at his album discography, and it is all drug related.
Wow.
Or drug associated.
I must be in Mandela effect right now.
No, I'm just saying. And you can have a particular critique against guys, you know, KRS-One picks terrible beats and the last 10 albums have not been anything good. He's still sharp lyrically, but damn it, his beats are just whack. You can say that and not personally diss KRS. I think there's a certain level of MCs, you just can't diss. You never hear DJs diss Grandmaster Flash. Never. And these motherfuckers on this push button shit and these cue points are so fast, their mind works like computers. But if it wasn't for Grandmaster Flash, who did that whole record, Grandmaster Flash on the Wheels of Steel by hand, none of y'all niggas would exist. But no DJs ever diss him. What is this shit? Somebody help me before I get further into the topic.
So I need to know one thing before I answer this question. So what do you think? Why do you think he was out of pocket?
You're asking this question for real?
Yeah, I want to know, why do you think he was out of pocket for saying what he said?
Because he's 41 years old and rapping about that same shit and talking about somebody a couple years older than him doing it.
So that's why you think he's out of pocket for saying that.
He's on. Wait a minute.
No, I'm just asking. Okay. That's my question. So you're saying that, and what do you say about why do you think he's out of pocket?
Well,
same reason.
Okay, so he's on the pod. He's on that other pod with them other two niggas, which will be unnamed. He's on the pod with them other two niggas talking about Jada owe me a whole verse. You gonna come at me? And apparently 38 called Jada. And Jada got on the record, and then maybe Jada, because you know Jada, where he come from. He come from that hard white. So, of course he gonna get on
record. On record.
On record, right, on record.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter, but that's his formal training. So when he gets on records with other guys, then he's gonna do what he do. Hell, he did it on this record. You know what I mean? So he gonna do what he do. So 38 gonna get mad because Jada, you know, is spitting fire on the record? I didn't understand. To this minute, I don't understand. What are you doing? Unless you on that Jim Jones and Max B plan. Dissing just the fucking...
I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not for 38.
I saw somebody on the text chain saying that. I
said that.
Address, I'm like, oh, that was you?
That was me. I'm like, you on that plan, nigga?
I don't see that with 38, B. Not with 38, B. 38's a different breed. He's a different breed. He's more long... To me, this is disheartening to me because 38... is Jada Kiss. The 38 is Jada Kiss.
B, I get down with 38.
That's what I'm saying. He is Jada. So what you to me, you're coming at somebody who is your predecessor. He is you're a direct descendant of this nigga.
You stand on his shoulders.
You're a direct descendant of this nigga right here. So that to me is where he's out of pocket. I was wondering where you guys said he was out of pocket. You're saying he's out of pocket because he's coming at him because he's a couple years younger. You're saying he's coming out of pocket because you feel like...
No, I'm saying same material.
Same material. And you're saying he's because he's not respecting the people ahead of him. But I'm saying he's out of pocket for me because, nigga, this is you. This is like dissing yourself. That's like a nigga younger than you. Say Stove God Cooks comes out to me like, man, fuck 38 Smash. That nigga ain't shit.
Oh, well,
I'm like, Stove God Cook, what the fuck is you doing?
To be said, he didn't say anything. I don't think he said anything. Well, indirectly said something about Fat Joe, about 50-year-old nigga. But he didn't say nothing about Stove God, though. He said nothing.
I'm just saying that's the equivalent.
I'm making this up.
Stove God said the same thing he said about him. Like, I'm sick of these 40-year-old niggas talking about Coke. And that, you know what I'm saying? That's what you just did, nigga. You just went at a nigga that's your predecessor. You definitely standing on his shoulders, if nothing else. So to diss him is crazy to me. I understand getting it in your feelings because that bar was definitely aimed at you, nigga. That wasn't even subliminal. That bar was definitely coming straight for you, but that's because you came at him first. Talking about he owe you a verse.
Right.
Talking about, nigga, you did it. You were the best verse on that record. You cooked that nigga. You was better than him on the record. So now Jada, of course, is going to say something. Because Jada like, wait a minute, nigga, what you mean? I mailed my verse in thinking, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get it back to you. I didn't know we was in competition. Okay, so now we in competition. Now I got something for you, nigga. So that's what happened.
As y'all know, I'm not a big fan of 38 Special. for the material. I wish him
nigga,
well.
I'm trying to tell you. Rich,
but let me ask you a question. Put your hand down, sir.
Yes, sir.
Has 38 Special got the kind of lineage like Jada going through them battles and destroying heads?
No.
Has 38, then what? Then come on, y'all.
Well, see, that's where 38 is going to learn a hard lesson. Because this is Jada's wheelhouse. And he doesn't spend a lot of time one-liners, two-liners, right with the sharpest knife. And your man spent a whole podcast talking trash. Right. Jada spent one line.
Nigga, he killed the whole fucking Dipset when he was on the stage with the niggas talking about, I'm outside, nigga. I didn't move to Miami, nigga. Mm-hmm. I didn't move here. I didn't move. I'm here. Wow. That killed them niggas. Wow. So they was done after that.
So 38 is going to learn a hard lesson. Shout out to Peter Johansson. I'm sorry, bruh. And don't get me wrong. Look, 2023 Special Machinery is one of my man, favorite joints. I love that record.
Put it like this: 38 Special is fucking special.
He's the last producer to make Coogee rap sound great. So no, B. This is I'm a fan. I'm like Kirk G. I'm disappointed because I'm a fan of 38. And again, yes,
a lot of folks are just in that text chain and a lot of turncoats in there, too. That's why I hit that roll tide on their ass.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. I hit the roll tide and threw your boy running on the field winning because
roll tide.
It took the funny thing is to me, and I really don't give a fuck, to be honest with you. But the thing that is funny to me is that the support for this dude has been strong. He stepped out of line a little bit and it's like, you're saying disappointed, but there's 100 and something messages on the text chain. That's one of the higher pieces of information that has been discussed on there. But to be, and this is one day. This is in one day, all them shit. So it's interesting because, as I said, I'm on record and I've been lambasted in the text chain, but he stepped out of pocket a little bit. We care about him talking about that situation, not himself with his material at the age that he started. Because once you get plus 40, bruh, come on.
No,
so what are you saying?
And if you are an anti-Coke rap fan, then you have plenty of material to rail against, all right? But those of us who respect Jada Kiss and respect 38 just don't really understand. Now, I don't know if it's them two niggas on that podcast that got him gassed up. I don't know who's giving him advice, but it's bad advice. And again, Jada Kiss, he's going to learn a hard lesson because in that type of battle, he can't fuck with Kiss. He cannot. Damn. I don't care if the conversation's about Coke
like
or
this.
Not.
Put it like this. He already lost because Jada Kiss has got way bigger fan base than he does. So he, even if he was a better rapper than Jada, he gonna lose because he don't have the fan base and he don't have the years behind him that Jada does. So Jada has a special place in niggas' hearts. So he doesn't have that. 38 Special, he might get that with some of his fans, but he doesn't have what Jada has. And that's why I'm looking at him like, yo, B, this is just so disheartening and disappointing to me because it's like, B, you're basically talking to yourself. Stop doing that. When you're coming at this nigga, you're fucking yourself up. Because, nigga, you're only getting older, B. Every year, you're a year older. You're a year older every damn year. So you sitting here coming at this nigga talking about 50, you ain't that far from there. You know what I'm saying? So you're right there around the corner from that point. And who else? Was you really dissing all 50-year-old niggas? Was you coming at the Clips, too? For their last album?
It's funny, and that's what I thought about. I was thinking, like, okay, damn, so you're dissing a lot of 50-year-old niggas. I thought about the Clips. Or I thought about probably cats closer to his age. I don't know. And these guys are younger. I don't know these niggas. I just picked two Southern guys out of nowhere. The whole thing is about, I don't know who GTG. I don't know this motherfucker. He's from Louisville, Kentucky. I seen 2 seconds of his videos, a lot of strippers, a lot of money, a lot of platinum chains, and he's in the streets. And who's the other nigga? Young Scooter from Atlanta. Same thing. Future's in the video, a lot of strippers, a lot of money, a lot of Lamborghini smoke, a lot of, you know where I got my money from. I mean, I'm just saying, B, the coke rap isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
But it's a whole fucking genre, fucking trap, nigga.
It is.
That's what I'm saying. But you know what, though? But see, I think it is kind of doing a little disservice to Jada, because I think that when you start breaking down his lyrics, yes, there is drug references, but I wouldn't wholesale So shout out to Jada. I picked another line out of that thing that was so crazy that Jada said, "The flow is sick, but you wouldn't know it because of HIPAA laws." And I'm like, first of all, motherfuckers don't even know what HIPAA is, okay? Then they'd have to go somewhere or ask somebody or ask the Google, all-knowing Google, what is HIPAA laws? HIPAA laws is the Health Insurance Portability Accountability Act, which basically gives you, from a federal level, privacy in your health information. You be... So that's a little bit deeper than coke.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yo, B, listen to me clearly. I want you to hear me say this. Until somebody puts in my ears 38 Special rhyming about something besides coke game, then I'm not going to be able to get it. I understand that you guys are saying he's an excellent MC. I get it. But it'd be like Adonis keeps trying to, my son keeps trying to get me to understand Boosie. And every record that he sends for me to listen to, I told him last time, I said, I just got to pull up the damn words with it because I can't take it, right? So when I talk, I swear I'm going to be done in a second.
No, I just got a question, that's all.
Okay, so when I'm talking about 38 Special, when I hear how amazing he is, at 40 plus years old, I'm not saying don't rhyme about coke, but at this point, let's start talking about some precautionary tales. Does that happen on his records?
He does.
So he does. Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to give 38 a little bit of props. Yes, he is an excellent MC, but I think he's a better producer. My God, his beats are absolutely nuts.
If we still had him talking about the best producer rappers, He would be up top there. He's definitely top three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to give him some credit because his production. Let me repeat again. 2023 Special Machinery, nigga. I love that record. Love it. So
okay. Because there's a lane for everything, right? There's a lane for everything, and I'm not saying that I will not listen to 38 Special. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that there's so many other lanes that be catching my ear. That it's going to be hard. It's a Jay-Z effect. I didn't listen to none of that Jay-Z stuff. I didn't care. Even if I'd hear it, I wasn't going out seeking it and I wasn't trying to play it. It's the same thing with 38 Special. No disrespect, because obviously people loved Reasonable Doubt, right? Loved it. Was that a 5-mic album?
I think it was four.
I don't remember.
I think it was four.
I remember buying it, though.
Oh, you went to Target? No, I'm fucking
that might have came from what, Tower 12-inch records?
Something like that. Yeah, I put my spread out early dissing them niggas running to Target, but that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, you were. I'm going to give them a run, yo. I ain't going to lie. I'm going to start out with that record you said.
Oh, yes. That's my favorite.
Yeah. And then I'm going to give them some run, like, Real Forensics, a la Peter Johansson today.
I want to give a shout to Cool and Dre. I didn't know y'all still had it in you. I hadn't heard anything from them of note in a while. Want to give a shout out to Stove God. That hook is, I love
Stove
it.
Stove God's on something new right now. He's doing hooks.
That nigga with that kilos out the plastic, I can still smell it. I absolutely love that
look
shit.
Look at this nigga's face.
That motherfucker was like, that kilos out the plastic, I can still smell it. We out in Dubai. I can still smell it. Oh my goodness!
But see,
the way he sings that hook is so fire.
You're getting me right now, son. Because do you know where that's coming from, though? That record.
Me?
No. I'm talking about Mr. B back here, Mr. King Killer B.
Oh, do I know where it's coming from?
Yes.
Do I need to know where it's coming from?
Because now you'll know why I asked you that.
Okay,
here in a second.
All right.
I think that's going to be on the next project from your boy.
I seen him up there.
I think that's going to be on his. I think that's one of his singles off his next project.
And before I knew it was Cool and Dre, I was talking to JC, shout out to Newark, stand up, Brick City. I was talking to him, and I was like, somebody would have slapped me open-handedly if that was Khaled on the production.
But I didn't know. The production. He does what he does. He puts the producer together. He puts the artist together.
Right. But that's on his new record. His
I think that's on his next project.
I would not doubt that. Khaled's still getting run?
That's why I had to. I was like, oh, do you know where that record is coming from?
And you know I got nothing but criticism for that cat. But in any case, yes, okay. I think the record is very good.
Yeah. That's his thing. He likes to put together producers and the artists and say, okay, you would sound good with you. And then he gets all the credit.
Well,
Another one.
I mean, it was so funny as 38's on the podcast, and he was like, you know, he was so critical of Jada. He was like, Jada sitting up there putting on another backpack given to him by another man. Because I guess Khaled brang him and Fat Joe and them expensive designer backpacks and shit, yo.
And so, your boy was up there. I was finding that kind of funny, though. I did find it, not the fact that he got it from another man, but the fact that why was Jada sitting there kept putting it on the backpack, like trying that motherfucker on, like it was like a new suit jacket or something. I was like, okay, this nigga, he really checking himself out, putting that shit together.
But Spech pointed that shit out, and I was like, oh damn, this nigga's just going heavy and shit.
Yeah, there's some background shit there, clearly.
Well, there is now. Maybe there wasn't before, but there is now, because if you're going to start getting personal.
Yeah, and like I said.
Like a second round knockout to me.
Like I said, I just think there's cats, and maybe, and it's just me, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to get out, but I think maybe them two podcasting niggas got him gassed and put him on that Jimmy and Max B plan. Just diss the nigga. You know, I don't know, B.
I don't think that came from that. Maybe them two niggas might have had ulterior motives for asking the questions they was asking, but I'm saying I don't think from 38, I think it's more from a genuine place, what he was saying, and that's how he felt. But to me, I still was disappointed in the fact that why even say Jada owes you something or say that you're better than Jada, you outdid Jada on the verse, and Jada, you cooked him on the verse or whatever you were saying at that time. I'm like, why? That's not even necessary.
That's called ego.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, I guess that is the reason why.
Because just because somebody sticks a mic in your face don't mean you got to say something crazy.
That's very true.
So, there that is. So, I guess what I get out of this is I'm going to try to listen to that brother to see if there's anything that I can find special.
You're not going to get anything special out of it. Because like you said, once you start hearing the subject matter, it turns you off.
You're not going to. But I'm telling you, I think it's a good record. Stoke, that hook is genius. I absolutely love it. So, all right. So we're going to get into, we're going to honor some folks who passed away this week. We want to get into that. First, we want to say rest in peace goes out to Rodney Thomas Franklin, Rodney Franklin. People don't know who he is. Here you go, Kurt G. All right. He is from Berkeley, California. He is a young prodigy. All right. Signed to CBS Records in 1978. But he actually started his career in 1972 at the age of 14. He led a jazz funk band. All right. And started recording music at the age of 14. All right. And where am I at here? Yes. And then on the 1980 album, He had a gigantic hit called The Groove. If you don't know who Ronnie Franklin is, you should know and look up The Groove. It's a big dance hit. Classic, still a classic dance hit. I pulled out a couple of Ronnie Franklin records that I got. Let you, you know I'm on it.
No, I got it.
You know I got it.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, they know.
Right.
Damn. So anyway, but we want to say rest in peace to Ronnie Franklin. Again, he passed away. Again, he had the big, in 1980, the big funk dance record, but he was a prodigy from a young age of 14, leading his first jazz funk band from Berkeley, California. So we give a shout out to you. All right. And two, secondly, we want to honor George Ellis Johnson. George Johnson.
Tell him who that is.
From Rickdon, Mississippi, but he actually grew up in Chicago. Let me run the whole thing because it's very important. You know who he is. Every African American of a certain age know who this gentleman is. All right. Johnson, when he was 2 years old, his parents separated. He moved to Chicago with his mother. After dropping out of high school at the 11th grade, Johnson became a door-to-door salesman for the Fuller Products Company, which was a black-owned cosmetics company. So he dropped out of school the 11th grade, became a door-to-door salesman. He eventually took a job in Mr. Fuller's, the owner of the company, in his lab. And he developed a product, all right? And it was a black men's hair relaxer, all right? Then asked Mr. Fuller, can I start my own company? Mr. Fuller was like, yeah. He went to the bank and started the company, tried to borrow $250. They was like, hell no, we ain't got no niggas $250.
He gonna go out and smoke this up.
He went to the same bank, but a different branch, and said the $250 is because he's taking his wife on a vacation to California, and they gave him the money.
Wow.
That's where he started Johnson Products in Chicago, Illinois in 1954. And the long story is that is the Johnson Products that went on to sponsor your boy Soul Train, Afro Sheen, yep. Ultra Sheen Cosmetics.
Yep.
This gentleman just passed away at the age of 99. A remarkable, remarkable career. It's just absolutely incredible. He was the first black-owned company to be listed on the American Stock Exchange. Oh, by the way, we talking this CEO shit.
Uh-oh.
All right. Okay. I mean, what are we talking about here? Obviously the main person who always, you know, sponsored Soul Train. And shit. Mm-hmm. What else did he do? Oh, Johnson founded Independence Bank of Chicago and was its chairman until 1995. Okay, the only black, wholly, solely owned bank. All right? Talking to CEO shit. All right? We ain't talking that different bank shit. We ain't talking that app bank shit. All right?
Hey, Rush, he's talking to you.
Nah,
you can't let it go.
Hey, nah, B, I'm just saying. Come on, bro. I'm just saying. You know, Rush, my man, we can discuss that.
He might take time off his album he's working on to talk to
you. No, don't do that.
Don't do that. Yeah, get that album done, son.
Yeah. So anyway, but we do, George Ellis Johnson, we honor you again, because like I said, of a certain age, you know what Afro Sheen and Ultra Sheen and all those black hair products.
I can almost smell it.
You know?
Oh, man.
I can see the commercial on Soul Train, literally.
Wow, kilos out the plastic, I can still smell it.
I knew that was gonna come back. I knew it.
The look on your face every time he says it is classic, my
saying,
nigga.
Oh my God.
That's where we are. That's where we are. Fuck Rakim.
I can still smell it.
Fuck Black Thought.
Oh, God.
Woo. Oh, next week, he'll, next show, he'll be saying, somebody said, yeah, and he loves it.
Oh, shit. The degradation. I can't take it anymore. Oh,
it's terrible. It's terrible. He also pink cookies in a plastic bag type shit. We might have later on liked that record.
Your boy was like the crack smoke out the pipe. I can still smell it. It is, okay, maybe the lyrics are questioned, but the way he does it is so fire.
And you know, the thing that gets you is like, damn, that other song that will remain unmentioned, that you just talking about scheming and thieving niggas.
Oh my God.
That shit is annoying as fuck.
Hey, man. But not to everybody.
But not to everyone, just like I can still smell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, definitely. I take your point. I understand what you're saying. And everybody's on record. If you listen to the Hip Hop Digest on record, your man does not do any drug references at all.
Who?
You.
Oh, well, no, let's not say that.
Not all the way.
Not all the way.
Who are the exceptions?
I don't want to hear a whole album. I don't want to hear 15 fucking tracks about you selling crack. I don't want that.
So you got a one-track limit on the crack.
Maybe two, because what's first going to happen is I'm going to hear the music first and foremost. And then I'm going to be expecting, if the music is incredible, then I'm going to be expecting some incredible bars. And if it's witty, Matt, quick story. We were talking about something, I was talking to Taylor. And we were talking about a certain record. She sent me a text like, Dad, I can't believe. She said, I just heard, is it Strawberry? Or some fucking record made by Big Boy. And I used to play it before I left there, Maryland. And what it was they were young enough that I could play it and they didn't understand it. So she's saying she understood it now. I said, well, I probably played a lot of stuff around you that was, you know, wasn't blatant, you just didn't know it. And I think that is what I wrongfully expect from our community, is to shield these kids from this bullshit. And if you're not gonna be able to do that, because parenting is different in our community now, we got 38-year-old grandparents that listen to this shit, and they're gonna listen to it in the car with their 7-year-old in the back seat, and they both gonna be rapping that shit. But if you're going to do that, give these children, well, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm saying nothing, because those people that listen to that shit are not going to listen to nothing else. So, and that is proven.
So I'm going to expand that, and I'm not going to be on a parenting thing. But if you give an 8-year-old a cell phone, it's over.
Not if you're the attentive parent, because you can put locks on and all that shit.
How many people doing that?
Not many.
Okay. So you give a cell phone to an 8-year-old, it's over.
Right, it's done.
Because yes.
They're going to explore the world on their own.
Yep.
It's over. But they
don't even need a cell phone.
They don't be.
Somewhere. They could be in a mall.
I'm talking about at the point, the privacy that the phone gives them, the independence that the phone gives them. They can go anywhere in the world, type up anything they want. As a busy parent, you're not going to put locks on it. You ain't going to do any of that. You ain't going to set up with the cell phone company to keep Typically not. There are those parents who do that. But for the most part, it is over once you give them that type of technology. Nigga, I'm just saying. I mean, come on, nigga. I'm just saying.
I'm them people. I'm them offshoots that you're talking about, because I did all of that.
Okay, and
would do it again.
And salute to you. You know what I'm saying? Definitely salute to you. But
you are the rare air, B.
Yeah,
you're like the nigga that could do a whole stadium by himself. Oh, you're the rare B. You're on that rare air.
A whole concert in the car.
You're the rare air, my nigga. Because most people are not that attentive.
I literally was.
Look, I be seeing people give their fucking kids a tablet and just say, just basically go in the fucking corner, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Don't do you, but you do you on the tablet, nigga. Just leave me alone.
Yeah. So that
give me
being
some peace,
said,
nigga, as long as I got a little bit of peace, I'm
so
happy.
So that being said, as much as I enjoy that record and the hook and Jada's bars and Fat Joe's delivery, I actually like that record. You know what I'm saying? But. Mm-hmm. It's not all I'm listening to 24/7.
We have never done that.
You could bet you
never. Yes. Not our brand of hip hop. We didn't.
No, of course not.
That's all. And you know what? I'm waxing nostalgia because it's never going to be like that again.
No, that's
it's going to be individuals choosing balance in what they listen to versus people to just say fuck it. I'm going to listen to that all day. And I just gave you part of it.
No doubt. Before we leave and before we get into, I can't believe it. Shall I announce it now?
Oh, you can.
Well, it depends on what you're about to announce because I got one more thing to throw out here.
Okay, before I announce that, please, Mr. Swerve.
Because Curtis, he's getting ready.
I see the album's coming. I'm ready.
Well, being that we're all three back here, it's been a month or so, but we had said we were going to talk about significant moments in our 20 years of doing this. And I'm going to say, while you get a chance to think, I'm going to tell y'all that one time. No, I got two real quick ones. That one time when Killer was just damn near preaching and Curtis was in the background, doing all that church shit. That is one of the funniest moments that we've ever done to me. That shit was crazy.
I remember that show.
Yeah, nigga, you was going in, son. You was on your soapbox.
Preaching.
Preaching hard. I was like, yes.
And then another thing about the Digest, you know, we've done had, you know, a considerable amount of interviews on here with all different things across the spectrum. One of the things that makes me laugh occasionally when we're not even thinking about the show is how we have some people, and they will remain nameless, who can get that drop, bam, on the first joint.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
And then there's one in particular that it took, I swear to God, what did it take, like 30?
It took a minute. Like it took a minute. I ended up just...
You don't say he, her.
I didn't say nothing. I said I ended up. I didn't go there. I said I ended up just cutting and pasting. Ooh. And to make it sound cohesive, there was no way that they were going to get done.
Yeah, because we don't give script. We just say whatever you want to say. Just add the Hip Hop Digest to it. That's the drop. There's no say, you're listening to the Hip Hop Digest. None of that. Just say whatever you're going to say and use the words Hip Hop Digest in there. And we've had quite a few one-hitter quitters, but there have been also several that just... do great while we're interviewing, and then all of a sudden you're like, you're on the spot. It's okay.
I have
those two memories for me.
I have to say my memory, it's a really, really significant memory, is back when my brother here was going through his health issues and came on the show and openly said, and that was so inspiring to me. The fact that, you know, and granted, you know, Hip Hop Digest, we a small community anyway, you know what I mean? But it was still, you know, it was so important. And I know it didn't just touch me, the people out there, because the responses that we got and the people who were having their own issues, they heard Kurt G say what he said, you know, and to share that personal part of his life, you know, that was so... Gee, I can't thank you enough, because that was so inspirational to me, you know, that will ever be a part of my heart, you know, on this show, live on the show, you know, all those, you know, weeks you were gone, but when you came in, boom, you poured everything out. So, and that's how we do at the Digest. You know what I mean? And I think that inspired other people. I'm not saying we ain't invent nothing, but you know.
No, Grayskull has had a segment. They do their calls and they talk about those type of things.
Yeah, they do. They do. They talk about the mental health issues and stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, no doubt about that. So that's a big memory for me.
Okay. So now that we're talking about memories, this is a damn is a long. It's a lot of shit.
Been doing this for 20 years.
20 motherfucking years. For me, it would probably be more so me mixing the shows, because unlike my two brothers here, once we get done here, they're done.
Well, that's not.
I have one more assignment. I do have one more assignment. The easy assignment.
Right, right. But for the most part, they're done. And you know what? I won't do it like that, because it's me being who I am. I'm such a meticulous person. When I'm mixing it, if I hear the slightest thing in there, I'm trying to fix it. When I can just let that bitch just run out there, just put the show out like it is. So when you hear it, it's me cleaning that shit up. But yeah, I'm thinking mixing the show. To me, when I hear you guys say shit that I missed, it's probably the funniest part to me, because I'm hearing shit and I'm like, I hear background shit. That's probably why I do what I do. Just say something that you won't even catch that I said it till after you listen to the show. But oh, that nigga, oh, he was back there being funny. I didn't hear him. Mm-hmm. But that's the shit that I love the most about the show, is that it's the background shit that happens in the background. But I also at the same time get on my own motherfucking nerves when I hear that shit. I'm like, nigga, shut the fuck up. Let these niggas talk. Why are you even interjecting yourself, nigga? Shut up.
Hey, this is for real. This is,
right.
This is totally unscripted. So
this show is totally unscripted.
This is what we get.
All right, no doubt. So after a long, long absence, we're going to welcome back the Digital Freaks Albums of the Week, Peter and Matt and Kurt G, if he got one.
I got them, but these niggas done went so far ahead. I'm going to go ahead and give the I'm going to stay in line with it. So for this week, brought to you by Matt, it's Blue in Exile, Time Heals Everything. That's Blue in Exile, Time Heals Everything by Matt. That's a good album.
Yeah.
That's a good album.
Yeah.
I can't front on that.
Yeah.
And then brought to you by Pete is Killer Shy, God Walk on Water. Killer Shy, God Walk on Water.
Okay.
All right. That's what's
up. Give that a spin.
Yeah, yeah. I, me and Kurt G talked a little bit about that Blue in Exile. It's just, there's one guy on that record. You shouldn't make records with him.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just, that Black Thought joint.
Yeah, yeah.
Black Thought killed that joint.
Yeah. So, it's funny.
But you know what?
Really.
Go ahead and finish your
story. No, it's funny because, you know, Blue in Exile, and then, no disrespect, you know, Blue, you know, he's doing his thing, but Thought gets on the track, and it just... It ends up looking like a jackknife tractor trailer. Don't make records with Thought. It's it's striking the difference in MC skill. And I like the Blue in Exile record. It's a good record. Let me tell you something. That thing's hovering around, you know, because I've been listening to it. But, man, Thought is like an out-of-control... Like LL said, an out-of-control redneck trucker.
He's a different breed of MC.
My God.
He's different. Yep. But you know what? It's like, to me, you have to be comfortable in your own skin as an MC to put somebody like Thought on your record. You can't have thin skin. You can't be somebody who may be a little jealous or may feel some type of way when somebody gets on a record and does better than you.
Yeah.
You got to be able to just accept it as what it is. And to me... To me, that's what that record was to me. I'm there, Blue is saying, you know what, Black Thought, I know that nigga is nice, so I'm not even going to get on this record thinking I'm going to out-rap Black Thought.
Man,
I'm just going to do what I do and then let him do what he do.
If he's smarty, like, damn, yo, niggas is like, yo, Blue, listen to the record. Thought is crazy. Like, tell your boy about it. Tell others so they can buy it.
Bingo.
Capitalize off of it. Yeah, put that out as a single.
Exactly. So, no doubt. So, that's been the digest.
Wait, did you get one?
Nah.
What? Did I miss?
For what?
Did I miss your album?
Oh, you missed that?
No.
A while back, sorry? I said I was out the game.
He was out the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
I said I was out the game a while back. I said I'm going to let these brothers handle it. I'll still have my albums of the week at the end of the year. I'll still have my albums at the end of the year, but these brothers is doing their thing, and I'm so... wrapped up in what I'm doing and as far as work and stuff, I don't really have the time to absorb myself in this shit the way I used to.
So, okay, gotcha. That's what's up. Still, the Digital Freaks album of the week. Shout to Peter and Matt. You know what I'm saying? And
shout out to everybody that listens to the Hip Hop Digest Show. Yes, all of you.
Indeed. Indeed. So,
appreciate you. We ain't trying to start none.
All right, no doubt. So I think the next thing will probably be a two-man show. Kurt G's going to be out for a minute. So, you know, we do what we do because...
For good things. Do. You're not going to jail.
No, I ain't got to report to jail, B. I wouldn't do well in there. I know I wouldn't.
I would not. I don't think any of us would at this point.
My attitude wouldn't allow it. I would not. I probably wouldn't live long in that motherfucker.
So anyway, that being said, thank you for riding with us. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you on the flip. Thank you. Bye.
Indeed.
One.